Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us and making his 15th appearance on Thursday Night Tailgate is NFL stats guru and a member of our 2015 Hall of Fame class, Russell Baxter. No one on the planet knows more about every team and every player, you know, who has probably ever played the game than Russell does. Be sure to check him out online at profootballguru.com and make sure you follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. And by the way, like I say every time Russell joins us, you know, Russell knows everything about stats, but he's a 10 times better person than he is a stats guy, and we know what a great stats guy he is, and we're glad that he is back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Russell, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Russ.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. I can't wait to meet this guy that you keep talking about. My goodness.
Talking him up.
Russell, I want to start our time with you by getting your thoughts first on, you know, what's some things that transpired this week, right? The Browns failed trade attempt for A.J. McCarron with the Bengals. You know, whatever caused that thing to go south is only good for comic relief. But the bigger issue to me, Russell, is they draft DeShone Kizer. They barely give this kid a chance, you know, a couple of weeks, and then they're pulling him. We know, you know, about their draft issues with quarterbacks. They've drafted like 30 quarterbacks in the last 5 years. None of those guys have ever worked out. They continue to be a disaster as an organization. Why do you think it is that these guys, no matter who it is, the coach, the GM, the owner, no matter who it is, they can't seem to get it right?
Well, you know, Chris, for a long time, up until this new regime, and to me this is kind of the first misstep they have made, or I should say the first question I've had for them. When you go through, and remember, Hugh Jackson is their ninth head coach since 1999, since they came back in the league. By the way, this team has played 296 games since coming back in the league, minus the 2002 playoff game against the Steelers. Their regular season record since 1999 is 88-208. They have gone through quarterbacks like I go through Malomars, okay? And up until now, I've kind of given them the benefit of the doubt with the new regime, and I'll explain why. They decided to do this, you know, the NFL version of Moneyball. Drafted 14 players in 2016. All of them made the team. In this year's draft, manipulated up and down, got Myles Garrett, got Jabril Peppers, didn't make the plunge for a quarterback. I mean, how many times do we see the Browns go for a player they liked and then a quarterback with the second pick in the first round? We saw it with Brady Quinn. We saw it with Brandon Whedon. We saw it with Johnny Manziel. This year they decided to wait and go with DeShone Kizer, who they managed to get in the second round. Smart. I totally understood. They also stockpiled some more drafts. They've got Houston's pick in the first and second round next year. So they stuck to this money ball plan. And then all of a sudden, they decide to yank the quarterback. And Kevin Hogan gets a start. And then the last time a couple weeks ago we saw them, they yanked the quarterback and put Cody Kessler in. Cody Kessler hasn't started yet, but inevitably he'll probably start a game this year. So once again, a year and a half into the new plan, they're changing the rules. And this is why they continue to struggle. Because football is a game of continuity, okay? There is no better example of why they don't get any better, guys, than the division they play in, okay? Marvin Lewis, whether you like him or not, has been the head coach since 2003. Mike Tomlin, never a losing season, has been the head coach since 2007 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. John Harbaugh, 2008. He's in his 10th year. You've got three coaches in the same division that have been on the same job for at least a decade. And the Browns, the record speaks for itself. You can't keep on changing head coaches, ownership, general managers, and quarterbacks, and expect to be successful. I mean, think about how crazy this sounds. I gave you the overall record. Let's just go back to the beginning of last year, guys. They're 1-23 in their last 24 games.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the point, you know, you make a moment ago, Russell, with, you know, the constant, you know, now they're pulling quarterbacks. Is Hugh Jackson, do you think, is Hugh Jackson panicking? Is this a, I'm 1-23, and, you know, I feel like I'm coaching for, you know, my life here every week now, and I got to, you know, I got to make something happen. So now he's, you know, they have abandoned the plan. They're pulling guys left and right. They try to trade for A.J. McCarron. They can't get that right. That's a fourth right. quarterback you're entering into the mix. Is this a panic move?
That's what it comes off as. And if it's not, that's what it comes off as. And that right. is a problem because it affects the people around you. Why would you draft Deshaun Kizer in the second round, have picks coming up in the next draft, and try to orchestrate a trade? Okay? I mean, by the way, I'm guessing, I don't know what happened with the paperwork, but my guess is that the same person that handled the paperwork for this trade is the same person that was handling faxes for Elvis Dumervil a few years ago.
Right.
And hey, and Russell, we see this spooky stuff happen. You remember, this is a while ago, you guys will remember this, screw up with paperwork. The Seattle Seahawks, we're going to designate Steve Hutchinson as a a franchise player or a transition player, okay? And then all of a sudden Minnesota signed the poison pill contract to them, and they lost him because of paperwork.
Right.
Yeah.
And Russell, were you surprised at all that this whole Bengals thing, that the Bengals were willing to trade McCarron in the division?
It is a little surprising, but it sounds like the price was worthwhile. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, we think about that a lot as far as, you know, you would never see two rivals trade each other. And yet, you know, we've seen the Cowboys and the Redskins actually trade draft picks and so on. So, I mean, ultimately, it does become the business of football. So you kind of, I think, you know, to me, it's still a little unusual because, you know, trying to help out a team that, you know, obviously is down and out sounds really weird. But, you know, the one thing, I will say this about the Bengals, and I know they haven't won a playoff game, and this year, I mean, give credit where due, they rebounded 3 out of 4 after their 0-3 start. The one thing that Cincinnati does very, very well is draft, okay? They are usually an extremely talented roster. And, you know, injuries have kind of, you know, set them back a little last year. You know, the free agency moves from a year ago and so on. You know, so there's a lot of different things going on there, but it's a team that's drafted well. And here's the funny thing. Go back and look. How many times do you actually see the Cincinnati Bengals orchestrate a trade of any kind? They're not a team that trades. You go back and look at their drafts. It's usually 7 picks, 1 through 7. They're pretty conservative when it comes to making deals and moving up and moving down, and yet, you know, they've done a great job acquiring talent. Cincinnati is not a team that goes out and finds other players. I mean, they lose players, and listen, maybe the biggest player they've lost in the last 2 years now, I mean, you know, you think about Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu, and losing Andrew Whitworth has turned out to be a big blow, and by the way, a huge addition for the Los Angeles Rams.
Bob, questions for Russell?
Like Chris said, Russ, it's been such an incredible week of news in the NFL. Of course, here in New England, as you know, the Garoppolo thing's big. But I thought one of the most things that really piqued my interest was the Ajayi to Philadelphia from Miami. Miami's a team, Russ, that just can't score. I think they're averaging 13 points a game. How they have 4 wins is beyond me. And Gase complaining that his players don't know the playbook. It's pretty bad for a team that's actually above 500 down there. But I just wanted to get your thoughts about Ajayi going to Philadelphia, to maybe the best team in football now. How he'll fit in there? Can they use him in a good way up that way? Shed some light on this whole situation here.
You know, it's funny. LeGarrette Blount gets a lot of carries, but he wasn't necessarily a workhorse back for New England the last couple of years. Okay, I know that sounds weird, but because of the way they run their offense and the game plan is so dramatically different from week in and week out, it wasn't like, all right, we're going to run LeGarrette Blount 20 times or 25 times week in, week out. It just didn't happen that way. And last year he had a lot of carries and a lot of yards and you know, 18 rushing touchdowns. With Jay and Jai, you get more of a workhorse back. And let's not forget, a few weeks ago, the Philadelphia Eagles lost their best running back, at least in my opinion, many people's opinion. Losing Darren Sproles was a big blow for them. Okay, yeah. Again, LeGarrette Blount could be the kind of sledgehammer, but I think Jay Ajayi gives them some. And here, they didn't get Jay Ajayi this year so they could win the Super Bowl. This is, I mean, he's only in his third year in the league. Okay, he'll get a new deal and he'll be their main person. It sounds by everything you read and hear that Adam Gase and him just were not on the same page about a lot of different things. And it is mystifying to see. The Miami Dolphins are 32nd in total defense, 31 in rushing, and 30th in passing. They've been shut out twice, and they're 4-3. If that doesn't epitomize this season to date, I don't know what else does.
It is a crazy team, and sticking in that division, of course, the Garoppolo trade, was it just a kind of a no-brainer for Brian Hoyer to come back here, Russ? I mean, having time with the team already, had some success in the league with Houston a couple years ago. Not that he's going to play, but I thought it was just a natural thing for them to sign him.
Yeah, I think that was like as soon as they made the Garoppolo deal and as soon as Brian Hoyer was let go, you know, that was kind of like a straight head over to New England. I think everybody kind of assumed that that was going to happen, and it certainly did, and it makes perfect sense. And, you know, it was funny, you know, for a while there, you know, even though they weren't on the field, Tom Brady was the only quarterback on their roster. Remember, they only had the two with Garoppolo and him because Jacoby Brissett is in Indianapolis. So, you know, it's back to the future a little, which kind of in some way reflects the Patriots in terms of their quarterback situation. You know, Tom Brady doesn't look like he's ever slowing down. I don't like them this week because they're in the off week, by the way. So, but, you know, Hoyer may, like I said, Hoyer makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure, you know, as we saw today, with unfortunately Deshaun Watson getting going, the first thing out of a lot of people's mouths is, all right, this is the perfect opportunity for Colin Kaepernick. And I get all that, but there's two things you keep in mind here. They signed Matt McGloin, who played for Bill O'Brien at Penn State. So he knows his terminology, he knows his system. The thing we have to kind of get used to right now is it's November 2nd. Any quarterback has not been doing anything, you know, for over a year or close to a year or was not in a training camp or was not signed as a free agent. I don't know how much good he actually does a team. So, you know, sadly, this might be a lost year for Colin Kaepernick. Not to say he didn't come back. I mean, there have been a lot of players who have wound up because of free agency or other factors taking a year off and wound up coming back and playing in the league. I'm not dismissing it, but, you know, I think that's something you have to keep in mind now. You know, it was one thing he didn't get signed, you know, in June or July. It is now almost halfway through the season. And it's, you know, let's just say you brought in Colin Kaepernick to any team, unless it was system he was completely familiar with. How long does it take him to get ready? And by the time he's ready, how much of the season is left?
Russell, a couple other things I wanted to get your thoughts on with respect to you guys just talking about the Garoppolo deal. How do you think that trade impacts quarterback free agency in the offseason?
Well, I think what it would depend on is if they get Jimmy Garoppolo signed to a long-term deal, and I would imagine they would. I'd be surprised if they franchised him. I would be shocked. I don't think they want to make the same mistake that the Redskins have made the last 2 years. You know, and I got to say this the right way. I think Kirk Cousins is a very, very good quarterback. But you're overpaying him because you failed to commit to him. Okay? You're not overpaying him because he's not worth the money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay? If you had gotten even a 3-year deal done, you wouldn't be shelling out what you're shelling out. for this one and one, you know, these, you know, 1 year contracts and so on. You know, I think Kirk Cousins deserves to stay where he is. You know, I heard it. By the way, I heard it float out there. I'm not going to say the member of the media. You'll be able to figure it out. That one of the reasons that the 49ers opted to go with the Jimmy Garoppolo trade is because they realized that Kirk Cousins was 0-6 on Monday Night Football, and he was coming off a Monday night loss, and they felt that that was, are you crazy? Particular person. You're telling me that was what the San Francisco 49ers were thinking? Oh, man, it's Monday Night Football. He stinks. Okay? Because, of course, you can't watch an NFL game anywhere except on your phone, your computer, your wristwatch, et cetera, et cetera. But Monday, I mean, to say our business has gotten a little crazy with conspiracy theories, you know, if Reynolds Rapp knew how crazy life would be now in terms of these theories, you know, they'd be making trillions on FOIL. So I just find it nuts. But it will. That's what it's going to depend on. It depends on what happens with Garoppolo, and who knows where we are at this stage next year. Okay, I mean, obviously Kirk Cousins has to continue to play well. I mean, I don't fault him. Listen, he didn't play great the other day, but when you're down Trent Williams and Brandon Scherff and another starter on their offensive line, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Okay, and you watch players drop passes and so on. I think, you know, I would like to think that we're beyond the point of just blaming the quarterback every time something goes wrong. You know, I mean, do we fault Deshaun Watson for losing a 41-38 game?
Right. Russell, as I look over my shoulder here at the Bills and the Jets going at it, you know, our good friend on ESPN with Christine Lisi, our other good friend Angelo Kane, both being big Bills fans. Are the Bills legit? Do you think the Bills can be legit this year?
Yeah, I think they could be legit. And one of the reasons I thought that they would be better this year is it was the fit of the coaching staff, in particular the head coach and the defensive coordinator, to the defensive personnel. I've yet to understand, okay, and I have never coached in this league, and maybe I'm out of line. I could not understand why Rex Ryan insisted on putting a square peg in a round hole. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You go back and look earlier part of this decade, the Bills with 57 sacks 1 year. Then Jim Schwartz gets there. They get better against the run. They have 54 sacks in the 4-3, mind you, with Jerry Hughes and Marcel Darius and Kyle Williams and Mario Williams. And then in comes Rex Ryan, and within 2 years, they can't stop anybody. I mean, remember last year's Bills defense for all the talent they had? There were four 200-yard rushing performances in the league last year by individuals. Jay Ajayi had three of them, and Le'Veon Bell. The Bills gave up three of the four, twice to Ajayi and then one to Le'Veon Bell. So you think about the talent on that defense, and they were 29th against the run. So in comes Sean McDermott. What did they do in Carolina? What did he, you know, they run the 4-3. And he still has all the pieces, except for Mario Williams. But now he has Shaq Lawson in front of Mario. Now, they just traded Marcel Darius, okay, and good pickup for Jacksonville. And again, the thing that's fascinating about Buffalo is that they're winning and yet accumulating draft choices for next year as well.
Russell, before we let you go, remind our listeners about all the places that they can, you know, find the great articles that you're writing and follow you in, on social media as well.
Now, I'm going to preface this. I would be glad to do that, but can I also promote where I put the lousy articles to?
You don't write lousy articles.
Well, you know, every you know, once every 15 years. I mean, you know, so.
Right.
Okay. Listen, I'll save
Feel
you all
free.
A step if you're on Twitter, and you should be following Thursday Night Tailgate anyway on Twitter. Just follow me, Pax Football Guru. And I can tell you, you know, in the words of Liam Neeson, okay, I have a special set of skills. So if you're not following me, I'll find you, okay? More importantly, if you follow me on Twitter, You don't have to bounce around to all the websites that I write for, because I just automatically send you the article. So, NFL Spin Zone, Fansided, Elite Sports New York, which is one of the newer places I'm writing for, WBLZ, one of the newer places I'm writing for, and so on. So just follow me, Bats Football Guru. I love doing my shout-outs and everything. We have a lot of fun on Twitter. You know, as long as you're rational, we have a lot of fun on Twitter. But, you know, if you're looking for information, okay, and you guys, we've had this discussion. You know, for the most part, we don't do as good a job in our medium as we used to when it comes to teaching people what we know and informing people. Okay, and now it's, you know, sometimes it's a little about, you know, yelling and screaming and making headlines and that type of stuff. But I always believe it's our responsibility to pass on a little knowledge and let the reader make up their own mind instead of being told what to think. Okay, we didn't like that when Mom and Dad did it. Why would we like it now? So,
right.
Bats Football Guru, give us a follow. We'll have some fun, and I will find you.
Russell, thank you so much for all of your support over the years. You're a wonderful member of our Hall of Fame. It's always a blast for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. Thank you so much for your time tonight, and like I say, been on the show now 15 times. We can't thank you enough for your friendship and your loyalty and being a great member of our Hall of Fame.
Well, I appreciate that. Is that like Joan Rivers on Carson?
Eventually, it probably will be, because, you know, when Bob and I retire, you can take over the show.
Yeah, I like it. Listen, it would be fun, it would be informative, and it would be positive.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the biggest part. Always on the positive, right, my friend? That's what we say so many times, and we've all talked about that. Take care, Russ. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Take care.
All right, guys. Good night.
Good night. That's the great Russell Baxter. And again, follow him on Twitter at Bax, B-A-X, Football Guru. And he's got his own site, profootballguru.com as well. Fantastic stuff always, Bob, when we get to spend some time with Russell.
Yeah, very active man on Twitter. If you go there and follow him, and he has all the answers. So I highly recommend it.
Absolutely. All right, we'll get to our next guest, Cindy Fiesel, on the other side of this quick station break.